Thank you, John, for the privilege of sharing God's word this morning. John asked me to share the word, and I've been thinking a lot this week in our fellowship on Wednesday and also throughout the week about the topic that I want to share with you this morning called building faith. You know, God has called us to a great calling. He's called us to hold forth his word and to share it and communicate it with all that we meet, all that we're inspired, people before us. And it takes great faith. It takes great confidence, great trust in what God has provided for us, his people. And our responsibility as his men and women is to go forth and communicate God's great love, his great provision to everyone. And that takes faith, takes confidence, it takes a real trust. Now, in the world, people have a lot of faith in a lot of different things. I mean, we hear this all the time. People have tremendous faith in the government. I don't know why, but they do. The government to provide for them, the government to take care of them. They put their trust and their faith in something other than themselves and obviously other than God. Another thing is jobs, careers. People take great, my job is big. I work for IBM. It's a big company. It's not going anywhere. It's secure. You know, all these great things that the people boast about. And yet, we know that in life, things change. And you know what? Sometimes the job phases out. Things don't go the way we thought they did. And what you put your trust and faith in sometimes does not happen. Money's a big one. How many people put their trust in their bank account, their money, their finances? I got a big nest egg. I'm going to be great. The future looks bright for me. You know what I mean? And yet things happen in life to where all of a sudden things change. And, you know, you sort of say to yourself, what happened? And your faith and your trust in something that you thought was going to be there just isn't there. Or, you know, you get these Hollywood versions of what faith is, right? Like, how many people seen Star Wars, right? They rely on the Force. Oh, the Force, this unseen thing that's going to carry you through all your troubles, and all you got to do is rely on the Force, and it'll be there for you. Well, that's Hollywood. That's not the Bible. That's not God. And there are a lot of Christians today who say they trust God, and they don't really understand his word. And their faith is built on maybe an organization, on a group, on a man, on a minister. And I want to tell you, sometimes that organization evaporates, the minister disappears out of nowhere. And what happens to that Christian who had faith? We, as God's people, must have biblical faith. We must put our faith and our trust in the Bible, in the God that we serve, because God is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. We build our faith, and the way that we build our faith basically is two ways, on the written word and on something called Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. These two things are what we can take to the bank. On what we can put our trust in. No one could take it away from us. No one could change it because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what we must put our faith, trust, and confidence in. This is how we build our faith. I want to turn with me, if you can, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Our biblical faith is based on biblical information. It's not based on feelings, emotions, human experiences of others, or even other people's personal testimonies. It's on the Bible. And in Matthew chapter 17, I'll get there in a minute myself, I want to read something with you and how faith has always been a topic and an issue from the very beginning. And in verse 14, we're going to start. 17:14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." Doesn't sound like the Lord was pleased with the situation, but he dealt with it. And in verse 18, Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Disciples, verse 19, came to Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do the job?" And he said to them in verse 20, "Because of the littleness of your what? Faith. Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move here and go there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." How do we get, as God's people, as Bible-believing Christians, how do we get to this point, to where we can believe and have faith to move mountains in people's lives? It was obviously a challenge to the disciples. They couldn't do it. They needed more help. They needed more insight. They needed more faith. They needed their faith to be built up to the point to where they believed that with God, all things are possible. Our biblical faith begins with biblical knowledge. I want you to look with me to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Again, two ways in which we can build our faith: by a knowledge of the Word and the walk of Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 10, a very familiar verse to all. Verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God." Faith begins and is built on the Word of God. Okay? This is the one way that you and I must learn to go to the Word, study the Word, put it on in our hearts and in our minds, and begin to build our trust, our confidence, and our believing, and ultimately our faith in what the Bible says and what the promises are in the Word. The other method is the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at this really quickly here. Well, these two means we come to know God, have trust, and believe. Go to 2 Timothy with me, please. 2 Timothy. And a lot of these are foundational scriptures, but it's the foundational scriptures that we need to run through our mind and heart. And you got to remember, too, we talking with people, communicating with people on the outside who don't know God and don't know His Word, these verses are revelation to them. These verses are life-giving. They're new. They maybe never heard them before. And what they need to hear. We can't assume that people know what we know. We have to walk them through the foundations of the Word to bring them to the point to where they could have faith in God. They don't know the Word the way a lot of us know the Word. So while it may seem foundational and fundamental to us, to people on the outside, it's a revelation. It's brand new. It's something they've never heard before. It is life. How many people, when you heard the Word of God for the first time, changed your life? How many did it change your life? We can never forget that this is the power of the Word of God when it's spoken to those who don't understand it. It's life-changing. It brings life to them that they've never known before. So, yeah, we understand it. We get it. But those we're talking to, it's really, really something to behold. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All what? Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God and is what? Profitable. We could spend the whole day on just that one. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, training in righteousness. The King James, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. Doctrine. What is doctrine? It's a principle by which we live. It's an idea. The Bible is an idea on how to live life. It just so happens to be God's idea. God's idea. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for the right way in which to conduct our lives as God's people. This is revolutionary to people we talk to on the... They've never heard this before. You and I have the awesome privilege to bring people to the knowledge of God. It's doctrine. It's a new idea. It's something they maybe have never heard before. While it may be foundational to us, it's a revolution to them. But it's not only doctrinal, it's reproof. And what is reproof? Reproof is how to get back to that original because you've gone off course. It's also correction. And this is a great one because a lot of people are taught a lot of different things. And if you don't have the original, if you don't have God's way, that way may seem right, but it could be totally incorrect. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God that it's profitable so that we can know the difference. This correct way is available to us, and we could recognize the error. And we could show people from the Bible how to get to that correct doctrine, that correct idea, the correct way in which God intends us to live and be a blessing not only to us but to Him, because all Scripture is given that way. And of course, all this points to instruction in righteousness so that we could be right with God. Righteousness is that the ability to be right with God. And if you want godly results in your life, we must be right with God. So all the Scripture, all the knowledge of this that we have of the Bible points to being right with God, being righteousness. Christ made it available for us to be righteous, but we must have faith and build our faith in what He has accomplished, what He has done, and what God has said in order to be right. Because just being a Christian and not understanding what the doctrine and how to believe rightly is, you could be led astray, and you could be led down a road that could be very dangerous. It could be harmful. It could be hurtful, which we unfortunately see in this world when people don't have the right doctrine. They get bruised. They get damaged. And some, unfortunately, to the point of no return. Look in 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, foundational Scriptures, but yet realizing that who we talk to every day, this could be a revolution, something that they've never heard before. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20. Does this look familiar? Knowing this first, Peter writes, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Or the King James says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. One's own. Idios is the Greek word. One's own. One's own interpretation. Why? He says in verse 21, for this prophecy, this word of God, this instruction was not made by the act of human will, it says in the NASB, but men, holy men of God, were moved and spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This Bible that you and I read is not a man's idea. It's not someone's idea on how to live. It is God's way. And this is God's method. It's his doctrine. And it's of not any privately interpreted, not to be private. So therefore, the Bible must and does interpret itself. But I want to take this a little bit step further, and I want you to go to the book of Jeremiah with me, because I think this is important to know. Jeremiah chapter 36. It's a little sidebar, but I think you will be blessed. And some of you may have read this before, but you know what? Again, when we're talking with people, when we're introduced to people who never knew the Bible or never know anything about the Bible, this is how we lead them. This is how we show them that what we're saying to them is not my idea. It's not the administration or the organization's idea. It's God's idea. It's God's way, his word. And in chapter 36 of Jeremiah, verse 1 says, is everybody there? I'll give you a moment. Jeremiah 36. This is great. I love this whole section here. 36, verse 1 says, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, who'd it come from?
The Lord.
To who? Jeremiah. Verse 2, take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations. For the day I have first spoken to you from the days of Josiah even to this day. Verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on the scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words that the Lord had spoken to him. Now look at me. Look at me. Came from the Lord to Jeremiah to Baruch to the people. Whose word is it? God's word. Did man make it up? No. It's important to realize that it is God's word. And when you talk to people, you have to let them know, this is not my idea. This is not my doctrine, my interpretation. It comes from the Lord. This is probably one of the best sections you could show someone how we got the Bible, how we have the truth, how we have the doctrine, the right way in which we ought to live, the idea that God has set in place for us to know him, know his word. Okay? Look at verse 6. So, you go out and read the scroll which you have written in my dictation, the words of the Lord to the people in the Lord's house on the fast day. And also you shall read to them all the people of Judah who come into their cities. Verse 8. Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of who? In the Lord's house. Comes from God, went to Jeremiah. Jeremiah told Baruch to write it down. Baruch wrote it down, and then it came to the people. This is how. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You didn't write it. I didn't write it. This is the word of the Lord. And this is how people need to understand that when we communicate the Bible to them, that it is from God. And this builds faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We must understand and be able to walk people who don't know anything. Believe me, most Christians don't know what you and I know. They proclaim to have faith, but they cannot describe to you or explain their faith to you because it's not built on biblical principle. It's not built on the Word of God. Amazing, isn't it? It's really amazing. Keep in mind our mission, what God has called us to do, to lead men and women back to Him. We have to know what we're talking about. We have to be convinced that this is the truth. We have to be so convicted and in their face when it comes to the truth of the Bible, that they walk away and say, this guy's serious. He's serious. And we are, because someone loved us enough and was serious with us. I'll never forget being witness to. And this is what was shown to me. Basic stuff. You know, this Bible, it comes from God. This is God's word. I'm not telling you something that I'm making up. And they'd go to 1 Peter, and they'd go to Timothy. And what? You got excited. I got excited. I got turned on to the point that I wanted to know more. And I left a lot behind to know more. And people want to know. They want to know what you and I know. And this is where it begins. Simple. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is how to live right with God. Righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Basic stuff, but yet so strong, so powerful. This is what changes lives. This is what convinces people that you're not cuckoo, that you're not crackers, that it's from the word of the Lord. It's from God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, please. It's exciting. It's exciting stuff when you think back. When you think in your mind, what made you excited about the Bible? What made you excited about God? What turned you on? It'll turn others on. They're just like you and me. We're all the same. And when the lights go on, boy. And this is what the Bible does. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge. So, great. You want to have peace in your life? Want to understand what grace is? Comes by knowledge of what? God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us everything, wow, pertaining to life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Faith is built on knowledge. This book, this Bible pertains to everything in life. Everything. You're not going to shock God. You're not going to bring something before him that he doesn't know about, that he hasn't seen before. It says in Ecclesiastes, what? Nothing is new under the sun. It's all been done. It's all been said. This word of God that you and I have pertains to everything in life and godliness. You want to talk about a faith builder? You want to talk about having faith and doing things in your life? This book pertains to it. Don't tell me it doesn't. It pertains to everything. And either God lied or we told the truth. I mean, let's get honest. Either we're kidding ourselves and we're reading a fairy tale, or this really works. But you see, the average person that you're going to talk to doesn't understand that. You and I have the responsibility before God to show them, and now we can, because we know where it's written. And this will change their life. It'll bless them. It'll not only bring them to God, it'll bring them into a whole new person. It'll change their life, because we have the Word of God, and we have the faith to back it up, because it's built on the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll do one more pertaining to the Word of God. 2 Timothy, another foundational scripture, but yet the instruction. 2 Timothy, back here, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have to get excited about what we're doing. We really need to understand. You know what it is? We really need to understand what we're doing. We really need to understand that what we know and what we have is life-changing, and it means life or death to some people. We really need to stop, calm down, and not get all out in the ozone, but just come back to basic vanilla and realize how powerful it is to communicate what we know, the fundamentals of what changed us and what can change others. If we don't go any further in life than to talk to people about what we're talking about right now, we have done an amazing job. It takes great faith. You got to really believe it. You got to really have confidence, trust, that God is going to be there. That's what the Lord was upset about. They weren't believing big enough. They weren't believing. According to the Lord, he didn't sound like he was blessed. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Probably all quote it. King James says to what? Study, you show thyself approved. Not to who? A what? That needeth not to be what? Ashamed. Rightly dividing that word of truth. NASB says we're to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Knowledge. Knowledge builds faith. Faith produces results. You want results in your life? You got to have faith. Just like the guy who got healed in Matthew. That's the point. Results. The point of this is to get results, is to see the power of God working in your life. It begins with knowledge. Knowledge and understanding how we got this knowledge, which we looked at, makes all the difference in the world. It's not our idea. It's not your way of thinking. I have people, I mean, you've heard the same stories. You talk to people all the time. Well, it works for you because you believe it. No. It works because God said it, and that settles it. You know, there used to be a saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Take out the middle. Doesn't matter what we think. God said it, that settles it. You got to make up your mind. Either it is or it isn't. Either it's going to produce results and get someone cured and healed, or it's not. We're playing. We're making believe. But how do we get to that point of conviction? Study. Read the word. Communicate it. Communicate the basics, and you'll see God work in front of you. We'll move mountains, okay? They're not always physical mountains. There are mountains in people's hearts and lives that we have no idea. They'll never tell you. They'll never tell you what's bothering them. But I know one thing. The word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it'll pierce to the dividing asunder. So it'll discern the emotions and intentions of the heart. The word of God is that powerful. And you want to know something? So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, Isaiah said. It's going to prosper whereunto I send it and accomplish that which I please. So don't worry about what happens when you speak. Just speak. Just tell people. Show them where it is in the Bible, how they can get healed. And whether they tell you what their problem is, it don't matter. In fact, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know. I love that about this man. He don't want to know. He just teaches the word. Don't tell me your problem. I don't get it. Just believe what, you know, believe the, and don't believe me, believe the Bible. I said before that it's not about personal testimony, but now I'm going to kind of back to you. To your personal testimony, it'll mean everything to you. You will see God working in your life on a personal level, in a personal way, that'll be convincing to you and to you that no one will be able to talk you out of it because you've seen it work for you. Not me. Not, but for you, that's where you want to go. That's where you want to be. And that's the greatness of this book. It delivers, and it delivers all the time when it's with great faith. And how we build our faith is through a knowledge of the Word and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Spirit. Let's go, if you can, please. John chapter 14. This is the second point about building faith. Gospel of John, chapter 14. There are two ways, the Bible and that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that God has given us to help us to build our faith. John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. Start in verse 15, if you will. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, counselor." We've all heard this before. Parakletos. "That he may be with you forever, aion, till the end of the age." That is the what? Spirit of truth. The what? Spirit of truth. This is the helper. This is the guide. This is what God has given us. Once someone believes and confesses Christ as their Lord, and they literally believe in their heart that God raised it from the dead, I don't know at what point that is, but at some point, God gives you the gift of Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, the counselor. It is there for us when we need to help not only ourselves, but others. Let's keep reading. Oops, excuse me. Glasses falling all over the place. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And we've learned later on in the scriptures that it's God in Christ in us. Verse 18, Jesus saying to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This whole section we know is one teaching. It's the Lord instructing the disciples how to live after he's gone. He's telling them, this is what you're going to need to understand. This is what you're going to need to know. I am not going to leave you alone. I am going to send you help. And boy, do we need it. He's going to send the helper. And we have it. It's in that gift of Holy Spirit. And this helper builds our faith as well as the Word of God. Look at this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Okay? The personal relationship we can have with God in Christ is a tremendous faith builder. As God demonstrates his relationship to you, your personal faith grows in a very intimate way. I want to read that again to you. I wrote that down. I thought it was great when I was working this. The personal relationship we can have with God in Christ in us is a tremendous faith builder. As God demonstrates his relationship to you, your personal faith grows in very intimate ways. It'll be something that is yours. It is personal. No one, as I said before, can talk you out of it. It is a personal relationship you can have with God, and it's all, I believe, for the most part, because of Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the works that I do them not of my own initiative, but as the Father tells me, that I do. He had great faith in God, and because of that faith, he did. And when he did what God told him to do, God performed the mighty works. But it took his faith to believe that God was going to do it. He had faith that God was going to do that, and it happened. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Understanding that we have this great gift, Ephesians chapter 1. This is part of a prayer, but this prayer is amazing. You must take these words personal. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Paul is writing and says, for this reason I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? A knowledge of him. We have that spirit. Once you are born again of God's spirit, you have the relationship. Paul is praying that through the knowledge you may gain the wisdom and revelation needed. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, what the riches of the glory and the inheritance in the saints is, and what is the surpassing greatness of its power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his mighty power. It's that gift of Holy Spirit, the words that build faith. Look in John, please. Go back to John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." Jesus saw, and he did. Verse 30, "I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As I see, and as I hear." God will show us things, and God will tell us things. This is all by way of the Spirit. God will show you things. God will tell you things. You have the Spirit. This builds faith. As we act on what we see, as we act on what we hear, and we walk out with confidence and trust, knowing that God will provide, we'll see the results and we'll build our faith. It's all by way of the Spirit. Another section in the Bible, Jesus talked about the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Do we have faith that we can do those things? Do we really believe? Do we really have trust and confidence that the works that Jesus did, we can do also? Is our faith to the point? Something you have to ask yourself. We have the ability. We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of confidence, trust, and believing that God will show you, that God will tell you. And when he does, when we act on what he tells us and what he shows us, we will see the great signs, miracles, and wonders that are available. And all that builds faith. It also builds faith in others around us, especially those you're ministering to. Because sometimes they can't see it, but God will show you, and then you can show them because you have faith to do that. But remember, it's always God who does the works. We are the ones to have faith. So we have the Word and we have the Spirit. Look in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to handpick some verses here. And all this in Galatians 5 is like an exhortation. And in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 16. Verse 16 of Galatians 5 says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." The exhortation is to walk by that Spirit. Look at verse 18. "If you are led by the Spirit," if you are what? Led by the Spirit. You cannot be led if you don't have. You have the Spirit, so you can be led. You have the Spirit, so you can walk. Look at verse 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Self-control. So don't tell me you can't do it. It's too hard. I just feel I can't. No, you can. Because self-control is in there. "Against such things, there is no law." Verse 25. "If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit." If we live, we can also walk. We have the Spirit. We have the ability. The benefits are here. It's a question of belief. It's a question of trust. It's a question of great faith. We must have faith that either God lied or he told the truth and that we could really do these things, or we're just, you know, like those guys in Matthew. Couldn't do it. Didn't have the faith. Didn't have the believing. Okay? We must live our lives of faith on God's terms and not ours. We must live our lives on faith and on God's terms, not ours. A couple of more scriptures I want to go to. Look in Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Cannot talk about faith without going to Hebrews. And this sort of puts the real cap on things in Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody there? Verse 6. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that what? He is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must come to God believing that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. But without faith, without having this faith, it is impossible to please God. We must and can and do have faith. Faith is built on the Bible, on the Word of God, comes by hearing, and a walk of the Spirit. As we walk by the Spirit, based on the knowledge we have of the Word, God will show us, God will tell us things that we need to know at that moment to not only build your faith, but get the job done, the deliverance, get people get healed, like we saw before. That's the point, so that you can be right with God, righteousness. This is how you build your faith. Chapter 10, we're going to close in this section, verse 35. In light of everything that we're talking about, building our faith by the Word of God and the Spirit, therefore, what's the therefore? In light of what we're talking about, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't lose confidence. Don't lose faith. Verse 35. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great rewards. For you have need to endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise that was promised. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous ones shall live by what? Faith. My righteous ones shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But, verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have what? Faith to the preserving of the soul. We are to have faith to preserve our souls. And how we build our faith and how we see the things of God come to pass in our lives begins with a knowledge of his word and a walk of the Spirit. Those two entities build faith not only in our lives, but those around us, because they'll see you will be known by your fruit. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the great faith that we can have, the great confidence and trust that we can have because of your word and that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that you've given us. Father, I ask as we go out this week that you bring those, Father, who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness to us, so that, Father, we can show them what your word says and lead them to you. To operate that great ministry of reconciliation begins, Father, with just simple faith, simple believing of what you have done in Christ and what your word says. So, Father, I thank you again for all that you have in store for us now and in the future. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.